This is the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. Bill Russell and I are delighted to be with Dr. Lonnie Johnson, who is right at the edge of all kinds of fantastic possibilities, some of them probabilities now, in terms specifically of energy and its production and its use.
That's right. We were talking about batteries and the importance of batteries for transporting energy, and when you get right down to it, the sun is the single energy source that can supply all the future energy needs of the world in a sustainable way. The challenge is, how do you get the energy from the sun into a useful form at a cost that's practical? If you could supply energy, electricity from the sun at a cost that's comparable to what it would cost from coal, it would be a no-brainer. You know, the transition would be painless and it would already be underway. The problem is that it's a lot more expensive. And so when you want more for less, you know, you tend to rely on what you know how to do already.
Well, in fairness, it's more expensive because so much of the costs of oil are externalized. That is to say,
we don't pay the real cost.
Well, we don't pay the cost of the environmental degradation. We don't pay the cost of having armies in the Middle East.
Me getting asthma because of it.
I mean, there's a whole lot that is not internalized into that cost. And if you actually did, then the cost structure would be different.
Yeah, but we don't.
But we don't.
That's absolutely true.
And it's part of what I find so appealing about what you're doing. Is one, it appears that cost is part of what you're addressing. The other thing that I find, and I want to put this, try to put what you're doing in context, the energy challenge, particularly with so-called renewables, is converting sunlight to something that is usable today, is a challenge because typically the sun is not where you want it to be, when you want it to be, how you want it to be, 24 hours a day. Sometimes it's on the other side of the earth, which is awkward.
Actually, the earth is on the other side of the sun, but we won't go there.
Well, I'm using my friend's reference.
Well, the sun is always shining on some part of the earth. So.
That's right.
The point is, though, that I was making, you know, is that, yes, you want to be able to generate the energy from the sun or whatever the renewable energy source is when it's available. And then you want to store it so that it's available for use when it's needed. So you need the conversion source or device for converting the energy from the sun. But then you also need the battery to store it. And not only store it locally where it's generated so you can supply it to the homes and for fixed and industrial applications, but you also then would be able to store energy in vehicles for transportation.
Can you do all of this stuff?
That's the full spectrum of what we're working on.
That's amazing, isn't it?
You know, to wrap, you know, because this may not be obvious, you live with it all day, every day. What you're doing with your heat engine is the capture part.
Right.
It can be used to take the sunlight, use the heat of the sun, convert that into electricity. The other half of that, which is what do you do with electricity when the sun goes to the other side of the world? And the answer is store it, which gets you to your battery technology.
Right.
The challenge in both of those are, you know, are the obvious challenge is cost.
Right.
Which is what presumably, well, the first challenge is, can you do it?
Mm.
And the answer is people are now doing things. There are technologies that convert sunlight into electricity,
right,
and that store electricity.
Right.
The challenge then becomes the economics,
right,
of it, which presumably,
right,
is dead center
we're
of what you're struggling
on.
With.
That's correct.
So if other people are doing this too, why is yours better?
Because of cost and efficiency. You know, the automobile engine, for example, the fuel that you put in your car, the gasoline, I understand that somewhere in the range of 12% of the energy that's available in the gasoline actually makes it to the wheels to turn the wheels on your car and make your car go.
Not enough.
Not very much at all.
What's inefficient?
It's very inefficient. You know, the engine itself is somewhere in the range of 30%, but by the time you go to the transmission and so forth. So there are a lot of losses. And then that's not even adding the costs and issues of getting the gasoline to the gas station and so forth. Another interesting parameter that I ran across just recently. In Iraq and Afghanistan, it costs about $400 per gallon of gasoline on the front line because of logistics and getting it there. So clearly that's an expensive way of moving energy around.
And yours?
For the battery, we will be about a tenth the cost of lithium-ion batteries per watt hour of storage capability.
When you talk about the 12% in my gas tank,
the engine conversion efficiency. The analogy I like to use is that the internal combustion engines burn fuel at about 2,600 degrees centigrade, so Carnot potential. You'll know what that means.
Thank
it's
you.
Very high. The potential for conversion efficiency is very high, but yet the actual conversion efficiency is in the 30% range. I could achieve close to 40% with an ideal Carnot engine. So if I have a different thermodynamic cycle, Carnot cycle, as opposed to the Otto cycle, then that cycle is going to be more efficient fundamentally. All else being equal, friction and things like that, you know, you pay those penalties. The JTEC, on the other hand, does approximate the Carnot cycle, Carnot equivalent cycle, the Ericsson cycle. So it's going to fundamentally operate at a higher efficiency than the Otto cycle. Then you add in the features, no moving mechanical parts, and some of the other things that allow you to achieve higher efficiency just on that cycle. So your losses would be less.
And the JTEC is your engine.
Right.
That's what you're talking about. I want to go back to the battery for a moment. You said that the cost was dramatically lower compared
Correct.
To lithium ion. There's also the question of energy density. How much energy per unit of mass?
Right.
And I assume that is also, because those are two different animals.
The way the analysis goes is, you know, construction of a lithium air battery is not too different from construction of a lithium ion battery. You use polymer binders for the cathode and so forth, and you have electrolyte in the cathode and those things. So when you finish construction, although the lithium air battery materials are going to be cheaper, but let's put that aside for a minute. You just use a similar manufacturing processes for both batteries. When you get through putting the batteries together, and assuming that the cost is the same, essentially the same, then the lithium air battery is going to store 10 times more energy than the lithium ion. So your cost per watt hour of storage capability is an order of magnitude lower. So that's the thing that makes it very exciting and worth undertaking.
Well, and at that point, the hurdle has always been the price, as it is priced, ignoring external cost, of gasoline, and the amount of energy in gasoline. But ultimately, it's the amount of work that can be done by the stuff. And it sounds like what you're talking about, the technologies that you're working with, makes you competitive with gasoline.
Well, you know, actually it's better because gasoline, comparing a battery to a gasoline is not even a fair comparison because when I use the energy out of the battery, I put more energy in. When I use the gasoline, I got to go find some more gasoline. And the logistics and all of that associated with that. So the idea, if you can get the energy from the sun, a green source, plug your battery in at home and recharge it, then you're going to be much better
Which
off.
Which takes us to the JTEC.
Correct.
Which is the engine.
Correct.
So how does that work? Since we're doing a science course here today.
Well, yeah, but this is not just, there's nothing abstract about this. All of this is
world-altering. We're working, I have a team of scientists. The biggest challenge is technology, you know, we're good at that. We're bringing it along. The real challenge is continuing to feed ourselves as we move it forward.
Talk about JTEC. You were saying,
well, the energy generation part. You know, you've solved the battery problem.
Yeah. Well, the minute you say and go home and recharge it, I'm thinking, oh yeah, and then you got to burn a lot of dirty coal because I have this terrible company that burns dirty coal. I don't like them. You can like them if you want to, but I don't like them. But or anybody who's generating electricity anyway. But you don't have to do that anymore.
Well, you know, but before we people talk about, well, global warming, is it really bad? And there's this big debate going on, and it was going on before people realized that we need to move away from dependence on oil because of national security as much as anything. So the motivation is more concrete and more clear to everybody. But the issue about global warming, we can see that things are changing around us daily. People will argue, well, those things are naturally happening. We're in a solar cycle, or there's a, you know, it's bigger than just what man is doing to the earth. Well, my response to that is fine. You know, let's take the part that man is doing out of the equation, get that off the table, and then we look at what's happening after that. And if the problem is still happening, then we need to get on with addressing that one, because it's a real problem.
Yeah.
You know, and one, you know, you don't want to throw up your hands and says, okay, we're all doomed to warm. It's going to warm up, and you know, half the United States won't be habitable before long.
Underwater.
The let's get on with it. We're going to come right back and get on with another part of why this is all really exciting in just a moment. Be back with us when we are with Dr. Lonnie Johnson.